But we're very pleased right now to be joined by Daniel Alvarez. As I mentioned earlier, Daniel is on his way on a 4,000-mile kayak trip, of all things, from the Angle Inlet up in northern Minnesota all the way down to Key West. He's currently, I believe anyway, we'll check this in just a sec, on just off Lake Superior, be somewhere between Two Harbors and Duluth. At any rate, Daniel, I want to thank you so much for joining us here at the Roadhouse.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the program.
Now,
I'm not quite to Two Harbors yet. So.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm on Lake Superior. You're right about that.
Now, you were here in Grand Marais not too long ago, and also I think paddled out to Isle Royale. But tell us first of all a little bit about your route. Now, what I said you were going to do was Lake Superior, St. Louis River, over to the Mississippi, and then down to New Orleans and around the Gulf to Key West. Is that the route you're taking?
Yep, you got it. That's the route, hopefully. I mean, we'll see about the St. Louis, and there's a portage in there called the Savannah Portage to get to the Mississippi. So if I can pass through there, then that's the route I'm going to. And if something comes up and I can't, then I'll have to figure something else out. But
now,
yeah, that's definitely the way I'm trying to go.
How long is that portage, Daniel?
You know, I'm not sure. I think it's definitely multiple miles. I was at Grand Portage the other day, and someone there mentioned that the Savannah Portage is actually considered the worst, or one of the worst, even worse than the Grand Portage, which wasn't like the greatest news for me. But because the Grand Portage took 3 days, so
I was going to say you may have wanted to check on that before you left.
Yeah.
Angle Inlet. Now, where are you from, Daniel?
I'm from Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh, okay.
So,
and I read in your bio that you, and we mentioned this on the air, you've done a number of really long, extended hiking trips, walking trips, the Appalachian Trail. You did the Continental Divide. You've done the Pacific Coast Trail. What made you think about changing your mode of transportation from on foot to on float?
Well, I actually started this thinking it would be a hike, because that's what I'm used to. And I was like, well, what if you could go from the northernmost point in the continental U.S. or the lower 48 to the southernmost point? And once I looked at it, it became pretty clear that the best sections of that would be water. So I had to trade in the hiking shoes for a boat, basically.
We wondered if perhaps you'd had a shoe sponsor earlier, and they just got tired of supplying your shoes on those long.
It does take a lot of shoes. You know, you go through about 5 or 6 pairs on a long distance hike. So.
Well, clearly the kinds of things that you do, I don't know if they would come under the heading of extreme activities. I guess they certainly would. Have you always been interested in doing more difficult activities, such as those long hikes and long kayak trips and so forth?
Well, I think I've been, from a young age, I really got into it. My mom basically tried to drag me across the Grand Canyon when I was about 11, and we got to the rim, and I said, no, there's no way, you know, I'm not gonna. She had the backpack ready. She'd been planning it for months, and I got to the rim, and I was like, no, Mom, I don't think so. And so my mom basically handed me $100 and said, okay, well, I'm going to go, so you can just stay here, and I'll see you in 4 days. So I grabbed that backpack pretty quick and followed down the canyon. And I'm glad I didn't try and call her bluff, because I think she probably would have left me. But, you know, 4 days later, we're on the other side, and you just look back and you think, wow, you can actually cross something like the Grand Canyon, because you look at it and you think, no mm-hmm. chance. And that, I think, was really what got me started on these things. And, you know, that was a 4-day trip, but then... You just kind of get bigger as you go along.
Now, when did you do your first, other than the Grand Canyon, was the Appalachian Trail your first long hike?
Yeah, the Appalachian Trail was definitely the first. And I started it, you know, thinking, well, I'll just go as far as I can, and we'll see. And after a month, I was like, well, I'll stay another month. And finally, it was, okay, I can make it to Maine. The Appalachian Trail is just a great trail for anyone who wants to go and try and do something like this. You have a lot of support. A lot of people are out there that can help you.
How long ago was it that you did that?
About 8 years ago, so 2004.
You've been doing this for about 8 years. By the way, my co-host, Buck Benson, said to tell you that the Savannah Portage is 6 miles long.
Oh, excellent. Well, a little shorter than the Grand Portage then. I like that.
It says it could be a little swampy.
A little swampy, yeah. So you'll have that to look forward to. Now, tell us a little bit about what kind of preparation you have to do for a trip like this. I mean, you look and you say, well, maybe I'll walk from the northernmost point in the U.S. to the southernmost point, and then you looked at it and decided, no, kayaking is the way to do this. First of all, had you done much kayaking? And then what other kind of preparations do you have to make to do this kind of a trip?
So I've done a bit of kayaking, not a ton. My background's more in whitewater kayaking than kind of long-distance touring. But it was enough to, I had a solid roll down, and I felt good on the water, and in moving water, it felt pretty comfortable. But I'd never actually been in an actual sea kayak until I started this trip. So it was a little bit crazy to get in one and go for it. But, you know, it's pretty mild water for the most part, especially if you choose your days on Lake Superior or the Gulf. I imagine we'll have some pretty big waves, too. So from the paddling perspective, I think it's you want to be able to roll and you want to be able to rescue yourself and stuff like that. And I practice that a lot, but, you know, eventually you just got to go for it. You can only train so much, you know.
Sure. Are you supported on this trip, Daniel, or are you completely alone on this deal?
I'm pretty much alone. I mean, if I really needed something, I'm sure I could call my parents or one of my friends. You end up with a few crazy friends if you hike enough backpacking trails.
They'll pretty much
bend over backwards to help you. So I'm sure I could call one of them and get them to help, but I'm pretty much on my own. Just relying on the kindness of strangers at times to help me out or whatever. I mean, I'm in Minnesota, so everyone's pretty nice up here.
So it remains to be seen what happens as you go. I'm sure it's very difficult to say. I mean, as far as your food, I assume you're not bringing enough food for the whole trip. By the way, have you estimated how long it's going to take you to do this whole trip?
I think it's going to be about 6 months, but I just keep saying that. I don't actually know. I figure about 6 months.
Daniel, I got to ask you a question. Or make a comment, one of the two. The first time you were in a sea kayak was when you started on the trip. You weren't too sure how long the Grand Portage was, and you didn't know anything too much about the Savannah Portage, and you're not too sure how long it's going to take you. Are you really doing this, or are you just calling this in from somewhere?
I knew it was possible. I know people have done the Grand Portage. They've done the Savannah Portage. So I figured if they could do it, I could probably figure out a way. That's kind of, you know.
So how much?
You gotta know it's possible.
How much food? How much food do you take along at any one given time before you have to resupply?
I usually take. Well, it depends on the situation. Like in the Boundary Waters, I was taking maybe 10 to 12 days of food at a time. But down the North Shore, you know, there's lots of little towns and stuff,
sure,
so you can stop pretty frequently. So it just depends on the situation. I think the most I could take is probably, you know, maybe 15 days if I really packed
And are you camping most of the way, or do you have plans to get a shower at some point in time?
I mostly camping. I get in and out of the water so much, I feel like I don't have to take a bath or shower at all because I'm always getting wet. In some towns along the way, I've gotten to stay with folks and just met some incredible people just along the way who some saw me and said, hey, you need a place to stay tonight? And others were, you know, friends of friends and just total strangers. It's really incredible, just the generosity and kindness that people showing me out here.
Now, are you doing this trip just to be able to say, yep, I did it? Or, as I understand it, you're working with some environmental groups on this as well.
Yeah, I am, actually. I mean, I do these trips mostly because I just love the adventure of it. But it really struck me when I was putting this trip together because I was thinking, wow, can you really go on water the whole way from the northernmost point to the southernmost point? And of course, you can. As anyone who's been in the Boundary Waters knows, you got to port it a little, but it's pretty close. And it struck me how important the water was. And so I reached out to some groups basically along the route, like the Friends of the Boundary Waters up here, American Rivers, and the Gulf Restoration Network, who do a lot of work with the Mississippi, and then the Gulf of Mexico, and then Florida Wildlife Federation. And those four groups got really excited about the trip and kind of using it to show just, A, the great and incredible work they've done protecting these amazing places, and also, B, to show just how important it is that we continue to work to protect them. You know, it's not everywhere in the world where you can go to a lake like Lake Superior and drink the water. That's a real rare thing. And, you know, that's something that it's too bad. It's too bad that that's so rare. But hopefully we can all get together and keep improving it.
We're visiting with Daniel Alvarez. Daniel, a native of Florida, is kayaking from the northwest angle down to Key West, 4,000 miles by kayak, mostly by kayak, a little bit by foot, that he estimates will take about 6 months. Now, even though you've talked about you meet a lot of nice people and so forth and so on, a lot of this trip clearly is just you and your kayak. Have you always, I mean, for some extended periods of time, you're alone. What goes through your mind? What goes through, you know, as you're paddling or walking a portage, you're by yourself? What do you experience on that? Does it?
I definitely think that that's actually the hardest part. A lot of people think it's the physical stuff or whatever, but the hardest part is always, I think, mental on any of these trips. Because you do have so much time to just sit and think, and so you start like rehashing all the things in your life. But so what I try and do when I catch myself really kind of losing it, I really try and focus on the moment and just being right there. You know, like watching the way the light is, or the way the wind feels on your skin, or all that stuff. If you just really focus on the moment, it really puts you in the place where you are, which I think is the key to. And not going crazy is just to be in the moment. I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice. Like, if the waves are huge and you got to focus on them, you're not going to think about anything else. But when it's calm and flat and you have time to think, sometimes you lose that moment and you kind of drift off to the future or the past. And that's when you get into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, mentally, no, I think. Particularly on Lake Superior where it can change so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you have
it
an idea?
Does. It has a personality.
Do you have an idea of what it's going to be like to go down the Mississippi? I mean, you're talking about a river that, particularly the further south you get, is a major commercial venue, waterway. Not vehicles, but ships and what have you, much larger than your kayak. Have you made plans or talked to some people about how you have to handle that part of the trip?
I am a little concerned about the Mississippi. I met a guy up in Iowa who had paddled the Mississippi, and he was talking to me about the barges. And he said that, you know, as long as you keep your eyes peeled and watch out for them, they're not too bad. You just got to scoot off to the side of the river and just watch their wake, because apparently they can kick up some mighty wake. He said the ones you really have to watch out for are the ones that are parked on the side, because if you miss seeing one of those, you can go right under them, and you're not going to come up for a long way. So,
yeah, you don't want to do that.
So keep your eyes open. But hopefully it's a big enough river, and, you know, in a kayak, you have such a shallow hole that you can go where they can't go. So just kind of sneak your way down.
Once again,
let the big fish have the middle of the river.
There you go. and once again, you got to stay in the moment, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be focused out there.
Now, when you're not hiking or kayaking or doing one of your adventures, because I'm not assuming that this pays a lot, Do you work for a living? What do you do?
I was a lawyer for a little while, and that was fantastic and terrible because I was in the office all day. But then I kind of had to go hike again. So I dropped the law, and ever since then I've been trying to become a writer. I've been working on a book with my dad about his life, which has been a lot of fun. And just kind of exploring life. I don't know. I might go back to law after this trip's over, but you never know. Life's long and has many turns.
Maybe perhaps a book on some of these adventures of yours.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I would love to write a book about it, but we'll see. I mean, it's hard to put on paper sometimes to figure out how to convey it.
I'm sure that's true. The other thing I was wondering about, it, and of course, maybe you've already answered that by trying to stay in the moment, but whether you've thought at all about, well, okay, what comes next in terms of adventure?
What comes next? You know, I don't really know. It's hard to say. There's so many good ones. It seems like every time I step outside and to go on an adventure, you end up with five more adventures that you think, oh, man, that'd be really neat to do. Yeah, there's long-distance trails in New Zealand and Spain that I thought would be great, and there's other paddling routes. I mean, people have paddled all kinds of crazy places, so I don't know. It's such a fantastic world out there that I think you could spend many, many lifetimes exploring it and still not even scratch the surface.
I'm sure that's true. We've been visiting with Daniel Alvarez. Daniel is actually just this side of Two Harbors. Oops. My co-host Buck Benson has a question.
Well, I was just hoping that Daniel would talk a little. You know, I read the background information that we had here about some of his hikes, and one of the people he met, name was P. Hicks, or better known as Girl Scout.
Yeah.
Can you talk just a little bit about where he got his nickname and that cool little story that you told about him?
Okay. Yeah, Girl Scout. So everyone who hikes, well, not everyone, but most people who hike long-distance trails pick up a nickname called a trail name, basically. And Girl Scout got his because he was really fond of Girl Scout cookies. But he's a really nice guy. He lives in San Diego, and he actually gave me my nickname, which is Out of Order. because I basically skipped out of the last semester of law school about a month before exams and flew down to San Diego to start the Pacific Crest Trail because you had to start it in a certain window of time. And the airlines lost all of my equipment. You know, you spend months piecing together your perfect backpack full of gear and then bam, it's gone. Girl Scout had hiked the trail the year before, and he heard about it because kind of news travels fast in the trail community. So he heard I was down there, and I had no equipment. So he called me over to his house and said, hey, I got all my stuff from last year. Just take whatever you need and get started on this trail. I know he knew about how I'd flown down there from law school, and I had to go quickly because I needed to fly back to take the exams. So, yeah, he gave me all this equipment, and he just happened to have this giant button that said temporarily out of order. So he's like, you got to have this. And he gave it to me, and I wore it all along that whole trail. So that was that's how I got my nickname, temporarily out of order, or just out of order. But it's amazing. I mean, really, I'd known him for all of 5 minutes before he handed me probably, you know, $1,000, $2,000 worth of backpacking equipment that was probably really important to him because it's what took him through the whole trail. So that kind of trust in the long-distance hiking community is just incredible.
Very cool. Well, Daniel, again, I want to thank you very much for being with us this evening. Thanks for taking time. I'm sure that on a trip like yours, it's difficult to take too much time away, but we appreciate the time that you've been willing to give us, and we wish you all the best as you continue your way southward.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. It's just fantastic. I hope you got a kick out of it. I certainly did.
Good deal. Take care. Travel safe.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.